live from my apartment. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who is ready to, as Casey used to say, let's roll. All right, here we are. Great show lined up for you tonight. Here we are streaming live on YouTube. We were having some difficulties with getting the stream started across all the platforms, so we are just here on YouTube tonight, and excited to have a great guest with us here tonight to talk about everything that's going on in Big Brother 21. One of our favorites, the great Miss Angie Rockstar.
Yes. Hello. So happy to be here.
Yes. Okay. Happy to have you to talk about everything with us. Angie, how are you?
I'm great. I'm like just watched a Big Brother episode and now I'm just hanging out, ready to talk to you all. Good. Life is good.
Excited to finally be talking to you here tonight. Yes. After a couple of starts and stops here tonight. Okay. All right. And then, of course, here with us to talk about everything, one of the number one rock star fans, Brent Wolgamott, is here. Brent, how are you?
I am a Rockstar fan. I'm looking forward to this all week long. I've been people about it. I'm excited to see Rockstar and I are here together to set the record straight on what happened tonight on Big Brother. This is a travesty, Rob. The edit was shit. I'm here to tell you about it.
Okay. All right. We're going to talk about everything, and we're also going to talk a lot about Rockstar. So if you got questions for Rockstar, hashtag RHAP on Twitter, and we will get those questions in here tonight. Of course, we are back to back live tonight and then tomorrow again, when we will have the great Donnie Thompson here with us to talk about the first live eviction and everything that's going on with this big twist that will be revealed to us on Wednesday night. Rockstar, do you have any predictions for what the twist is going to be?
Well, I really hope that it's something for David to come back. That would be cool. Mm-hmm. But you always got to expect the unexpected. I have no idea. Maybe they make Jack a mermaid or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like they did to Kevin that one time?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I hope they put him in that box that they tortured the Nerd Herd and all them people on that season with, where it was like sweaty and then
you
there
want the pressure cooker?
Yeah,
the pressure cooker. Wow,
that's what I hope it is.
Okay, Brett, do you have a prediction for tomorrow night?
I actually don't know. I'm hoping for some sort of battle back along the way. The chat is telling me that my mic sounds a little machinery.
I think your internet was a little choppy there for a second. Okay. Hopefully.
Okay. Well, the next time I stop talking, I might reset my internet. So if you see me go out for like 5 seconds, that's why.
Okay. This is a night where Rockstar, I think we have all of the Fauté curses working against us tonight. Somebody doesn't want us to talk and have a show tonight, but I'm very excited that we have the opportunity to talk to you about everything that's going on. Rockstar, tell us, are you enjoying Big Brother 21? First season now that you're out of the house. What's it like being back watching the show?
It is so easy to play Big Brother from my house. I can tell exactly who to get out and exactly how I would win. It's fabulous. But it is a trip watching it with not only my parents that have been fans for years. They've also been friends for years, but they've been fans for years of the show. And watching with Chris, my fiance, like, and we, you know, say our certain things. And then, of course, with all the Twitter and IG, and I even dipped into the world of Facebook.
Yeah, what, like the Facebook page?
Yeah.
And it's scary.
It can be, but I think they're coming around a bit. They were not fans of me, but recently when I dipped back in, it was more welcoming. So
yeah, Rockstar, that I'm so curious to know your perspective on now that you're out of the house and you know what it's like. You have that perspective that you know what it's like to be in there, but then also, you know, you're active on social media, so you know what it's like on social media. So, well, I just would love to get your thoughts on what those two different sides of the coin are like.
It's hard because it's like when you're in the house, you really you really start to forget about, I mean, not forget about anything else, but it's such a mental head game. And all you're seeing in these is these 15 other people, and you get kind of comfortable. You start to tell stories. You're still kind of holding everything in because you know that people are watching you, but you don't really understand the people that are watching you if you did not watch the live feeds, which I bet a lot of people have not. Probably not anybody in the cast right now. And I didn't last year. One of the reasons I think that Elena Davies has me blocked, I don't know. There's probably many, but
oh, me too.
She has me blocked because in the house, I actually said, I think it was to Haley or something. I was like, I don't understand what a stan is or what a Marlena stan is, or how could you get so wrapped up or involved in somebody else's relationship, or why would you watch somebody sleep or something like that? So I said that when I was in the house, I was definitely coming out to dip into that world and see what it was all about. So I knew that I was going to get the live feeds and I was going to like jump right in and pick somebody to root for.
So
and, like,
are you a stan of somebody now?
I'm not. I was going to be, but he really disappointed me very early on.
Yes. So
I was all about Nick because I thought like, wow, this is a mental health professional. He's going to call people out on their bull. Can we cuss on here? I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, you can go for it.
I bullshit. Think, yeah. You know, I want to make sure I don't want to mind my P's and Q's.
No, you're with me, honey. You're with me.
All right. Definitely. Love it. So I really thought I had high hopes for him. And I still kind of do, like, maybe somewhere in there, he's just like playing all these people. And so he's just going along and laughing at the crass jokes and the stuff that's really not funny. And he should have called out while he was sitting in the same room as these people saying it. But I don't really know now. Like, it, I wanted to feel that passion for somebody and defend them with my whole heart, but like, I can't right now.
Could you stand again? Could you find somebody else?
I think I just have to stand Angela Rockstar because I know what she's gonna do.
Okay. All right. So we got to see a lot from the perspective of our HOH Christy tonight, who really. New Caitlin, and yeah, we got to see her really going back and forth of what she was going to do with her HOH. Rockstar, how do you think that Christy has been handling the first HOH?
I guess it's a lot of pressure to be the first HOH or any HOH. You know, that wasn't an experience I had, but I think that I really wish she would have went with the, I'm going to put Jack up. Mm-hmm. There was, I mean, girl, that was the power move. That was the move that would have like, woo. But instead it's like, you're backdooring Kemi. What the hell has she even done to be you backdoor somebody that you don't feel like you could get out is my opinion that you, yeah. you're like, I don't want you on the block. I don't want you to know you're going on the block because you're a beast in mental beast, physical beast. If you know you're on the block and you pull yourself off, then you're coming after me. Mm-hmm. And I don't want you to have the opportunity to have the veto. So I'm backdooring you. You never get none of them opportunities. What the hell is Kemi? Is she like, I don't know. Is she a member of Mensa or whatever everybody's always talking? Like, is she super smart? Is she super athletic? Mm-hmm. Is there something they're not telling us that makes her such a threat?
I know. She breathed.
No. Yeah. Well, the one thing breathed. That we've gotten on the show is that we got to see the relationship between Kemi and Bella, and then that was it. Once we saw Grateful have a meeting, it's like, did you see how close Kemi and Bella are? That's the number one threat to Grateful. Bella's relationship with Kemi, and that's why she needs to be this this backdoor target. Brent, I just want to ask you a little bit about the Jack and Christy relationship at all, because I think that this is a complicated relationship between these two.
Hell yeah, it is. I mean, like, I can't even tell you what the relationship is at this point. She alternately like loves him and yes. hates him and yes. is annoyed by him, and like he wants to do his bidding but yet doesn't want to be told by him what to do. She hasn't revealed to the house that she's a lesbian, and she spends a lot of time with him in bed, but yet Tommy's in there and he knows the truth. So I can't even tell you what the real story is with Jack and Christy. I just know that Christy is a mess. And if you thought she was a mess on the show tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you should watch her on the live feeds, because this is like exponentially worse than anything we're seeing on the show.
Yeah. Rockstar, could you help us understand what's going on with Christy?
No. I wish I could, man. I had such hopes for her. Like, she seems so like she would be. Okay. Thanks, Mom. My mom just popped in to tell me.
What did she say?
She wants me to look into the camera when I'm talking.
Oh, I'm going to.
A momager.
I'm a director. I live.
My momager.
Like Dina Lohan. No,
right, exactly. She's a little less savage, but my mom is great. She loves Big Brother. She loves you guys. She watched you all last season. Yeah, so she's like super excited that I'm on. And she just got like just totally talking about my mom.
Can we see her? Can she come on camera?
She won't. Okay. But she did just change her faceless avatar to a picture of herself, which I'm really proud of her on the Twitter. So.
Good work.
Yes.
Good work. Good work. Okay.
So what is going on with Christy, huh? I think that Christy is trying to do the right thing, but she can't see the right thing through the forest. And Jack is a big old tree in front of her, I guess. I mean, I don't understand how half the stuff that's been said in her company that I've seen said from
and
watching the live feed.
Yeah.
And that she said where these things are coming from, this Earth Child manifester, but I think it's just her privilege that she may not
recognize
it.
I think that's it, because I expected a lot more from her too coming into the house. I mean, she's from New York, pretty liberal area. She's a lesbian. She talked big coming into the house about wanting to surround herself with good energy and good people and the causes and things that she cares about in life. And then she's standing there next to Jack and he's like, well, first, you know, we got rid of David. Kemi's next. Then we're going to get rid of Jessica. Oh my God, what do all these people have in common? Like, it never once dawned on her the optics of what she's doing right now. It just boggles my mind, Rob, that this has never crossed her mind. That all the people that he's targeting are the people of color in the house.
Right.
And there's no, he's saying, you know, what he's trying to rationalize and say, look, Kemi's been playing really hard. Jessica's playing in the activity thing. Ovi's a really strong guy, but you can make an excuse for anything. I mean, I'll say this. If even Taryn Armstrong, who doesn't always agree with me, is on the Life Beat morning update saying, look, this doesn't look good. All these people that you're targeting are all people of color, and all the people who are in the majority alliance are all the people who are not people of color. You might want to think again. So, yeah,
I don't understand why nobody in their group was like, let's not do that. That's not a good move.
Well, Rockstar, as somebody who is there, do you feel like that? Is it just like the, you know, force of personality of you have Jack, who is really feels strongly about what to do, and everybody else just doesn't want to rock the boat?
Yes. When you're in the house, you may absolutely disagree with something, but it is of the opinion of the people playing that they don't want a target put on them. So how can I remove myself from what was just said without actually blowing up and exploding and losing my shit and everybody going, oh, well, they're explosive, or they're, you know, a bomb waiting to go off or something like that. Because people don't want to call other people out because they don't want to get put on the block. And they're thinking about like, damn, this might be a bigger social issue or whatever. But like, I'm trying to win $500,000. So like, do I take a stand and mess up my whole game? Or do I just sit back and try to get out of the camera shot while they're saying these ignorant things that they're saying?
Yeah.
It's
complicated because Big Brother is not real life. There are things that you can do in a real life situation that are different than what could be best for your game at a given situation.
Seriously. I mean, if you sit there and go, Jack, what the fuck are you saying, man? Like, you can't say that. Mm-hmm. You cannot say that. Don't you know that you can't say that? Let's go. Let's have a history lesson real quick on why you can't say that. And then Jack wins HOH, and then you're right on the block. And he's gunning for you, and he's got what is Jack? Mickey.
It's like, where are we going? Where are we going with this? Yeah.
He's got him there, and you know, that's another number. Like, and then they've got the girls that are fawning over them, and that's their numbers. And you're looking around the house and you're like, who do I have? Who do I have to protect me if I stand up here and protect these people that are almost already out the door?
Yeah. All right. So. Speaking of Mickey, we got a very unusual segment on the show tonight where I know from following the live feed updates that there's been a lot of talk about, hey, did Mickey and Jackson and Kat, did they hook up in the house? And then it's like, oh, they got one over on America because live feeds weren't on. So they were able to get together and nobody's any the wiser. It seems like there's a lot of stories like that every season of these people like got together before in the live. Like, I feel like that these people who are sort of like a recruity are always like very savvy about before the live feed cameras come on. They know exactly what they need to accomplish in the house. They know nothing about the game, but they know, if I'm gonna get it in, I gotta get it in by this day, and that's it. Then the live feeds are on. Then forget it. It's over. That's my, I know that. I know that much. But Rockstar, who tells them this stuff?
We just know that the feeds aren't on.
Okay.
But like, we know that the cameras are recording. So, and like, they don't,
hey, we're not
you.
Live on the internet. They're just filming this house for a national TV show.
Right. But it's like,
and we're wearing microphones.
I think like a lot of times before the live feeds start, I mean, there's definitely things that are said that aren't going to be on the show, but also like they're telling you constantly, don't talk, because a lot of what the people have, the only thing they have in common is going through finals. You're not allowed to talk about that. Is going through the audition process. That's the only thing these people have in common. So they talk about it constantly, or at least we did talk about it constantly. And the production was always like, stop talking about production. Stop that. Stop that. Stop singing. Stop that. And I was like, oh my God, I understand why they don't have the live feeds on, because people would not be watching the live feeds. They would be like, shut
right.
up.
They're training you guys. I mean, yeah.
It's a training, because everywhere in the house you would hear it and you would be like, that wasn't even me. Who was it? Who was it? Because that shit's getting annoying. Like, and so it really is like a training session before the live feeds start. So you know that they're not on. And I feel like there's a warning, but they don't tell you when they kick on. They just say they're going to tonight.
Okay. So Rockstar, do you have any thoughts on Jackson and Kat? This is not a showmance.
It's a homance.
Yeah.
I love it. I like Kat. I don't think she's good at Big Brother, but I think she's cute. Like, as a cute blonde person that I might go do a shot with or something, you know, on a night out. I think that they probably definitely hooked up, and I think that she probably is thinking it might be more than that, and he's like, no.
Yeah,
like, that's why we did it before the feeds were on, obviously.
Brent, could you walk me through this real quick? So they were in bed, and then they went up from the bed, and then they went to the shower. Do I have this correct?
Mm-hmm. It seems like that's what was happening. I can't tell if this was pre-feeds or post-feeds. I know that they hooked up pre-feeds. Jackson said that already. So I have to believe that this was pre-feeds. And I don't think they did anything once the feeds were on. But it totally defeats the purpose, because he's getting off on the fact, Jackson, I'm talking about the fact that they did it before the feeds came on, as there's no evidence that we actually did anything. But then he's telling the whole world,
it's like
that
the perfect crime.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Like, I murdered somebody, and oh, by the way, the body's over here. Like, that doesn't help you at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
that's so true.
Does Kat have a thing for Jackson?
Oh yeah, she does.
Definitely. Okay. Oh, God. She definitely does.
Yeah, he used her, basically, if I'm being real. He just wanted a booty call on, and he had like he wanted to ghost her, like in real life, where you hook up with a girl. I mean, not that I ever have, but like you hook up with somebody and you don't call them back and you don't answer their phone calls, but he forgot. that he's living in a freaking house with her for the next 3 months for $500,000 and he can't get away.
Literally what I was about to say is like, how are you going to try and ghost somebody you are literally stuck in a house with? That is the dumbest move ever. Like, that was stupid.
Yeah,
that's, now you're stuck with this girl.
I agree with Samantha in the chat that Kat is a stage 5 clinger. Maybe he's not stage 5, but she's close. She's close with how she feels about Jackson. Jackson is kind of done with her at this point. He's moved on to Holly. He's really into Holly and was, at least considering voting Kat out just because he wants to get rid of her.
Right.
Rockstar, let me ask you about, we saw one of your old friends from Big Brother 20, Casey, came back to host the veto competition. She called it the slow-mo competition. It was a first in Big Brother 20, Brent, right?
Yes, that's what
we're calling it. We're calling it the slow-mo competition.
When she said the slow-mo competition, I was like, what? I had no idea. But this is the one where she was catching things.
I remember. I remember. Yes.
Because Messi was so mad that she beat him.
Yes, I remember. Okay. Rockstar, how did you think KC did tonight?
She is so mellow. Like, I love her as a person. I love her. I really do. But I don't know that she's got that necessarily entertainer kind of.
It was a bit of a snooze, Rob.
What? A description. How dare you? How dare you?
I love her, though. I think she's beautiful. She's very athletic. She's so cool. Yes.
She really
chill.
Is.
She's a down. Like, I mean, literally, I said it on the show and I say it to people today. She's like a walking human joint. She's real laid back. She's just a real cool person. But as a personality that I don't know that was.
Yeah,
necessarily. Yeah. It wasn't exciting.
Yes,
I would have rather had Palpatine tonight. I really would have.
No, look, they'll bring. I'm sure. I have no doubt. We'll see.
Where were they? We saw on the Rockstar. We saw on the Big Brother like Instagram or something. Rob, you and I were talking about this.
I think they were trolling you, Brent.
They have to be trolling me or something because Angela and Tyler were walking into the Big Brother house like they were. Getting ready to play or something.
Maybe they're moving back in.
I know, right? That's the big twist tomorrow. Yeah.
But I think if you were going to bring back Casey to host a competition, I feel like that this was the right call. I feel like this was probably the most memorable one that she won.
She's so lovely. I mean, she's just so cool. And like watching her, like I said, she's a real mellow chick. So like, I feel like she should have done a counseling session with them or something. Like, hey,
you think she could have talked to them and been like, guys, let's not have drama.
Let's sit down and let's talk and let's that's cool. Let's go. Yeah. Not be racist. You know, like.
Let's stop.
Stop. Exactly. Stop that.
Yes. Well, one of Casey's biggest fans is playing this season. Cliff was so excited to get to hear Casey in person.
As Casey always said last year, let's roll.
Okay. I have to believe he was trolling us on that.
So we have now Cliff is great. We know Cliff is a super fan, but Angie, is Cliff. Does Cliff know things that he's saying in the diary room? Does he know he's saying that Casey's quote wrong first?
It's possible. I mean,
he does wrong.
He knows he's doing it wrong. Why? Yes. What's the joke there? Well, he's like, I'm going to do it wrong on purpose.
Well, first of all, he shouts us out every day.
Yes.
RHAP.
Okay.
My point is that he's intentionally trolling in the diary room because he knows that the fandom as a whole did not like. Let's
I don't
go.
Know. I think we are maybe assigning some agency here that I don't necessarily know. Okay. All right. Let's go to exhibit B.
Okay. All right.
This was Cliff tonight talking about, and I think production loves him, that he got his own segment. Everybody else was in the montage.
Yes, right.
Okay. So this was how Cliff described part one of the slow-mo competition where he had to catch the onions that were falling between the leaves of lettuce.
I've never had this much salad tossed in my face before since a kind of bad date a long time ago before the wife.
I didn't even hear that the first time around. Oh my God, Cliff.
Okay. All right.
I'm clutching my pearls.
I mean, really, we have pushed the envelope real far.
The only thing I heard was about the wife. I totally missed the first part of that. Oh, my God.
And I apologize to Cliff's daughter, who's also a big fan and watches all this stuff, that just to hear her dad say this. Does Cliff know what he's talking about here, Angie? Does he know that there are other connotations to what he is saying, rock star? Or do you think that somebody's like, could you describe this as like, did you ever go on a, like, could you say like this was like the worst date you've been on since like you went for, you tossed a, had a tossed salad somewhere? It's like, okay. If you guys want.
I hope he does know. I hope he was like, yes, I'll say that. Let me say it right now.
Because he's not winking when he's saying it. He sounds a little confused.
I've never had this much salad tossed in my face before since a kind of bad date a long time ago before the wife.
I mean, Brent, that's a bad date?
I feel like the way he's saying it, you know, before the wife, like, I feel like that's the verbal wink that he's giving us. He knows what he's saying. Come on. Come on.
Cliff. Come on. Wow.
Cliff, if you're whatever age you are and you don't know what a salad toss is, please ask the wife.
Yes. Okay. Freakiest freak. So far. Okay. Rockstar, on a more serious note, have you felt any sympathy towards Cliff in the position that he's been in as one of the older people in the house?
I love Cliff. And yeah, I do. He's a dad.
He's a parent. Right.
You know, I mean, like, I got a soft spot for any parent that's going to go play big brother. I thought it was really interesting. I got into the live feeds one day and Bella was saying to Nicole that like Cliff was here for his kids, but she valued that Nicole was here for herself more. And it really caused me to have this like whole self-reflective moment about like different phases of life. Because yeah. Now I relate to any parent that goes out and plays the game. But maybe 10 years ago, I would have been like, yeah, girl, you're doing this for you. And that does matter so much more than doing it for somebody else or whatever. And it's just kind of, I like to like look at these people and see where they're at in their lives and where they may be 10 years down the road or whatever. And how we all kind of go through these different transitions and life phases and be in different places.
Yeah, that's very cool. Actually, you know, the one of the other life feeders that I work with, Melissa, she is often annoyed by the fact that, you know, they hold against women and men who are parents, the fact that they are parents in the Big Brother house or in Survivor or whatever reality show you're on. And she really wants them to just evaluate their gameplay and their style of game for what it is in the house. So I can understand where she actually probably would empathize more with somebody like Nicole, who says she's there for herself rather than somebody like Cliff. But let me tell you, as somebody who has followed Cliff for a while, Cliff is there for his family, but he wants to win. He's there for this experience and he wants to win. And by the way, I have to say that given the age disparity between Cliff and the other house guests, I mean, he's like 54 years old and you know, everybody else basically looks like they're in their 20s. I mean, mm-hmm. I think there are a few 30-year-old people in there. I think Jessica is like 30-something. I think it was like 36. But they all feel like they're in their late 20s. So given the fact that he is 54, almost double everybody else's average age, I feel like there's one of two paths for him, and that is go out the first week or go all the way to the final three. And I feel like he's made it past the first week. I feel great about his chances, Rob. I really do feel like we're going to have Cliff all of our live long day for the rest of the summer.
Well, let's not jinx it, but I do think that things have gone best case scenario for him, where that he's tasted the block. He didn't freak out. He is well liked in the house, rock star. Mm-hmm. So I think things are only pointing in the right direction here for Cliff.
I agree.
Yep, I'm excited about it because we haven't had somebody like Cliff get to really play the game. And I do think he's going to need another week or two to really get settled and spread his wings. But I don't see anybody coming out. I mean, they're really going to waste an HOH going after Cliff at this point. Really? I mean, he would really have to screw up for that to happen.
Okay, how about this?
In the house.
Okay, what if he gets HOH in week two? I feel like that could be very bad for his game.
That would be very bad for him. And he knows that that could be very bad for him. He is on the live feeds during his Cliff Notes session. That's what we call Cliff in the morning when he is up before everybody else and he talks to the cameras. He has said that he does not want to win HOH. But on the other hand, we've had other house guests in the past who said, I don't want to win HOH. And then they go and win HOH because they can't resist the temptation of it. So I'm hoping Cliff knows better. He does not need to win HOH right now. And I think he knows it.
Rockstar, I know that Cliff had his son's birthday happen while he was in the house. And I saw you saying on social media that you felt like that the house guests were more sympathetic to Cliff on his son's birthday than they were a year ago this month on your daughter's birthday.
Well, they point blank just did not care. But I told them all that my daughter was having a birthday. And, you know, like, I think like two of them listened and the rest of them would just walk out of the room. Here's the thing about my whole house experience. And I don't know if it's just a different group. So I don't know what it was. But like in that first week, everybody always says to me, oh, you were good. You had a good read on a house, blah, 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 blah. But you were on the wrong side of the house. Those people wouldn't talk to me. You cannot work with people that leave a room when you enter it. So, and that's legitimately what would happen. Brett and Winston would walk out. I try to have a conversation with Angela. She would get up and walk away. I was like checking my armpits and stuff. Like, do I smell? What's up? So like, It's very nice for me to see that I may have inspired some sort of empathy for the people that you do leave at home, because I definitely try to tell people like, this is my baby girl. I had her when I was 25. She's about to turn 10, double digits. I'm gone from her. Like, this is a big deal to the point where like, They didn't listen. They didn't know. They didn't care. But they did that for Cliff. And I think that's nice. Mm-hmm. So if it takes somebody acting like a reckless maniac and cussing people out and then not thinking of any words and just calling them trash and disgusting for that to happen, well, then I guess it made a small improvement on the empathy of the other house guests.
I have a question for you, Rockstar. I know, so we've had a few problematic house guests so far this season, but it is a really fluid house, I feel like, much more so than what you played on. So would you rather stick with what happened in the history of your season and live in that universe, or would you rather have been on this season with a much more fluid house, even though some of the people may not be as likable?
I wanted to win Big Brother.
Yeah.
And the way that I was ostracized to the point of not being able to communicate or build relationships or even talk in the same room as people, where they just decided like, shut it down, we're not talking to her for whatever reason, really limited my ability to use my social skills, which is the skills that I have.
Right.
So I think I would rather be, because I wanted that dough, I wanted that bread, I would rather be in a problematic season with people that are willing to work with not just a split up house.
Right.
Then be completely, and don't get me wrong, I love my friends. Like, those were my friends. That's why we worked together. But there also wasn't an opportunity to step outside of that and try to form a different alliance and maybe even do something terrible to one of my friends.
You never got the chance to betray somebody.
They
just accused you of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Rockstar, we got to see OV end up going on the block, and we almost got nothing about OV tonight. We saw a lot of OV on Sunday night, and then OV was in the background all of a sudden until that conversation that we saw with Sam and Christy, and how about OV? Oh, okay, great. And now OV's on the block, and it is a bad spot for him. What have you thought about OV?
He's so sweet. He's baking everybody cookies. He's baking them food. He's trying to like feed them. He's trying to play that role of like, I'm a comforter. I'm a friend. I'm a nurturer. You can count on me. And they just, they're not having it. They don't want his nurturing comfort cookies. Mm-hmm. So it's, I feel bad for Ovi. I like Ovi a lot. I like his spirit. And I think he's like, I think he could, given the opportunity to not be called a creeper every other second for doing just basically, it's such a weird adaptation game because it's like you're looking at the other people in the house and how they're acting and you're like, all right, well, is that what I got to do to kind of fit in? And then you do that and then people are like, oh, why are they doing that? Can you believe that they tried to make the same joke that you made or like walked in the same room or why are they in here trying to talk to us and like all this shit? And you're like, because it's a social game, like you're supposed to talk to people. And sometimes some of the people just shut down and ostracize and isolate. And then that's where I think it really starts to get like depressing. I talked about a lot. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you keep going, girl.
Just going to say that like when you're on the block, everybody kind of treats you like you have the plague. Like nobody wants to come talk to you because they're all keep this person, get rid of that person. And no one actually will talk to the people on the block is what it felt like. And so I rode the block several times, so I was always talking to the other person that was on the block because basically everybody else was like, I don't want to be, it just makes me feel weird because they're on the block and like, I don't want to go talk to her. I don't want to get too attached. She's just going to go home, you know? It's so weird to play.
The thing about your season that I think it maybe is a little bit different from this season is that you were just on the side of the house that you could never get your sea legs. If just one thing had gone your way, where you could be like, okay, these are the people that we could trust. This is what I know is true. I feel like that season would have had a different ending, but you were constantly like in a fog because you were constantly, you didn't know who to believe. Even all your best friends, Haley, Fessy, they were questioning your own loyalty. And when you can't even depend on that, it's just impossible to play a social game like Big Brother. I don't envy you at all in terms of having to deal with that bullshit.
It was crazy. It's like I have, I've managed a lot of nightclubs. So I thought like going in that all these people would just listen to me. Cause like I deal with 20-year-olds all day and I tell them how to make money and go make more money. And then they're like, damn, Ange, that was a good tip. Thank you. How do I handle this? And they come and, you know, but I was also those people's boss. And I guess I didn't take that into consideration. Like all these kids didn't know me from nothing. So they're like, oh, that old weirdo. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
I feel like I know the answer to this question, but who on this season would you really think you would have hooked up with right away?
Like,
and not like in a Mickey and Catherine way.
Who would you be like sitting on the side of the pool, making fun of everybody with?
I mean, probably like Bella, Kemi. I would have given Nick a chance.
Yeah,
but
me too.
He's not seeming to act in the house the way he did in the preseason interviews. And we don't get to see each other's preseason interviews. So I wouldn't have known that. So maybe not. I definitely would have been like, damn, that dude is fine. And then I would have been like, you are trash.
Even with the haircut. Are you sure?
Even with the haircut.
Jack.
I went Jack.
Nick's haircut is, it gives me like Justin Timberlake in the oodles of noodles phase.
Yeah. Back in it. I know. Yes.
With the like line or whatever.
Yeah. We didn't get to see, I was hoping that we were going to see on the episode with, the fish, passed away this week, Brent.
Oh, hell. I'm glad we didn't.
Because that I wanted to know if you thought that maybe it was a metaphor, because we saw so much in the beginning of the season. Jack Rockstar he's Aquaman. He's Aquaman and he can communicate with the fish. Should that have been the signal to us that this is evil Aquaman?
The fish is dead.
Yes.
I know, right? That's actually a great call. The fact that metaphor. Fish died. Yes. Oh my gosh. I never even considered your mind, Rob. Ugh. Oh my God.
It's amazing, the power.
I was hoping we would get to talk about that tonight. Unfortunately, we didn't get it. Let me ask you about, we got to see Bella and Kemi do like a little bit of a roast in the backyard of the different guys in the house. That I know you guys both like Drag Race, and there's a lot of reading that goes on. Rockstar, how did you think about Bella and Kemi's reads of the guys in the house?
I loved it. I thought the library was open and reading is fundamental.
What did Bella say about Mickey there at the end?
I couldn't tell that. I think she was talking about like how hot top heavy he is. Like he just has like, you know, boobs like a chest, but like no
leg day.
I felt like no legs or nothing. What?
I thought she was saying from the here down he was fine. Like
his bad face.
Oh, okay, that maybe that was it. Okay, I could.
And I thought that she was saying something else because she just like held up like two fingers and said he's like this from the waist down. And I said, what is she saying here?
I know, right? And I thought she was
And I tried to go back and I tried to pull the clip, but it was just like it wouldn't have been good for the podcast. I need to go back and see what they're saying. But
so tricky with the whispering.
Yeah, insult?
It's a good move for them to whisper, but it's hard to understand what they're saying.
He's a butterface. That's what she's saying.
Okay. All right.
By the way, before we move on from them, that is just one relationship that I cannot figure out. I mean, I am totally with Taryn and Melissa on this, where we love us some Bella. I think all of Twitter loves Bella, and Kemi loves Bella, but Bella is not loyal to Kemi. She rats her out on everything, and it's like, why are you doing that? You love this girl. You're
the rush hour alliance.
We saw that Kemi was nearly backdoored tonight, and part of the reason for that, amongst a lot of different reasons, was the fact that Bella seemingly ratted her out to her alliance, that she was dropping Jack and Jackson's names. So it's like, what are you doing? Like, if you actually value this girl and realizes that she's loyal to you, why are you putting her in the line of fire? I'm glad she eventually realized that it wasn't a good idea, but it was at the cost of some credibility of her game, Bella I'm talking about, because there were moments in time this week where she was almost the replacement nominee. Nick was almost the replacement nominee. So a very bad gameplay.
It would never happen in the Rush Hour movies.
Yeah,
right.
Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan—they had each other's backs the whole time. Yeah, always. Yeah.
Neither one was dickmatized.
No, nobody. Okay. I want to just bring in. We have a lot of questions for Rockstar, and then we're still going to talk about the live feeds. There's still a lot to do here tonight. Okay. I know we got a late start. You're still okay on time, Rockstar? Okay, thumbs up.
I'm here for it.
All right, good. All right. Let me go ahead and see if I can just bring this up. Okay. What was Christie's reasoning I know it was a different story than what happened on the live feeds. We're going to get into everything in the live feed update. I'm not sure if TJ here wants to know what was the real reason, or is he making a joke about what was said? So let's move on. TJ also, what do you think about the choice not to include Sam and Christie's plan to act surprise during the ceremony? Brent, okay. do you want to fill in the blanks a little bit here?
This was just flat out falsehood from the Big Brother editors on this one. Okay, so Sam went to Christie and he wanted to use the veto. She didn't want him to use the veto, but he was like, yeah, I hear you, but I really want to use the veto because I did promise Cliffy that I was going to take him down. They eventually came, after a lot of talk, to a consensus that Obi is going to be the replacement nominee. He was the one who suggested that Ovi be the replacement nominee. Of course, you saw that on the episode, but he knew going into the ceremony, they had cooked this whole thing up, that he was going to supposedly use the veto without telling the HOH that he's going to do it. And then she was going to act totally surprised and bewildered that he had decided to use the veto and put her on the spot to name someone. That's why we saw her with that bad acting job up there, pretending like, this is really terrible. I don't know what to do, but let's see. There's already a girl up on the box, so I want to keep it fair. I mean, the whole thing was a sham. It was
but you said it's a bad acting job, but didn't Ovi buy it?
But he is not a good Big Brother player, I do not think. Yeah. No, he has been playing bad, but he doesn't even know he's in trouble at this point. He was backdoored. So he was backdoored as a replacement nominee, and he still thinks he has the votes, Rob. When does that ever happen? Never.
That's a good point.
He's so sweet, though.
Nice guy. Nice guy, Ovi. Okay. Girl. All right. Mindy wants to know, who's playing the worst game right now? I think Sam has to be up there for wanting to win and use the veto the first week when he wasn't on anybody's radar. Rockstar, well, what do you think about Sam? He comes in and he really wanted to use the veto. He was very excited to get into the veto competition. This is what he had to say going into the veto tonight.
So I really, 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 really want to win this veto because I just want the power.
Come on!
Get the power!
I just want the power!
This is the first video of the season!
I really want it. Look, okay. Come on. Rockstar, correct me if I'm wrong here. But his problem is not whether or not he uses the veto or not. His whole problem began when he decided to win the freaking thing, right? Yeah. Why are you winning a veto with hulking Jack in the competition, in athletic competition? Why are you winning that the first show of the season? That is a terrible move, Sam, and he knows better. It's like he just doesn't care. I mean, they really, you have to give it up to people like Cliff, who are able to keep their wits about them and keep the game in front of them about how they're supposed to act and what they're supposed to do, in comparison to somebody like Sam, who probably knows, actually definitely knows, that he shouldn't win the veto this early, especially against, in an athletic competition, against somebody as jacked as Jack is. And yet he goes and wins it anyway when he didn't even need to. If Jack had won the veto, Cliffy still would have come down. There was absolutely no reason for Sam to win the veto here. Ugh, just pissing me off.
Yeah. I think that, like, when you win a veto, though, you can't ever be the replacement nom. So
correct. That's correct.
It's also kind of protecting yourself, but definitely puts that guy can win stuff, you know.
The thing was, though, that Sam was in on the plan. That's the other thing about this episode that I have to correct. Sam was in on the plan to backdoor Kemi. He knew he's not part of the alliance. They were totally selling us a bill of goods there when Jack's in the diary room going, I don't know what Sam's going to do. He freaking knows what Sam's going to do. Nick told Sam what the plan is, that we're planning on backdooring Kemi out of this game. So if the veto is used, that's what's going to happen. He didn't need to win this veto at all. And that was the whole thing was just set up.
Rockstar, let me just be devil's advocate. What's the downside of Sam winning this veto? Okay. Oh, he won a competition. Okay. So, we gotta worry about him. Maybe, we might have to backdoor him because he won a veto competition. Is that really going to happen?
I hope not, but then again, he's not in their hateful, great, grateful.
But sometimes it's like, we can't go after him because he'll win the veto.
Right. So then they might have to backdoor him, is where their head might be at. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the way that group is going, I think he's safe for a while.
Here's my big problem with what happened. It's not so much that he won the veto. I mean, I think that was an idiot thing to do, and that's whatever. He won it. It happened, okay? My bigger problem with it, Rockstar, is that he went in on this whole stupid plan of Christie's to try to act like he was forcing her hand. So that does nothing for Sam. That paints him as a wild card in the house. Like, this is a crazy man. You never know what he's going to do. He might just say fuck you to the HOH and say, I'm going to use the veto anyway. I don't care what you have to say, which is how it came off to people who didn't know what was really going on. So I have no idea why he signed up for this, to save her feelings.
Cliff's a dad. Come on.
All right.
That is hard to understand.
Okay.
What was going through his head there?
It was crazy.
Unless he just like wanted to make his kids proud and see dad win.
He just wants to play Big Brother.
I want to play. I want to be a part of it. I get that. I do.
Okay. Yep. Let's take this question from Trevor. Is there a way Ovi can share the knowledge of his power to save himself? Say he has a power that can save someone else from the block, and he'll use it on them. Rockstar, have you given any thought to, is there any way that Ovi could leverage this power to help his situation out?
his power has to be used before the nominations are made.
It has to be used before the veto, I believe.
Before the veto. So,
like the night after the nominations, I think.
The night after the nominations, it has to be used. I don't know who he could even. I mean, I guess I wouldn't tell Christy. Maybe if he told Nicole or Jess, they seem like safe people to me. I don't feel like, especially Jessica, I really like her. I think she's, you know, I think, I wonder, you would have to tell somebody that you felt like was going to be the next HOH or be the next person thrown up on the block. Cause you could be like, hey, I can protect you with this. Or, hey, I just want you to know that I could come after you with this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, either yeah, exactly. way, I think you'd have to say to the person that is, I think it would be most beneficial to the person that feels they're going to be thrown up on the block next.
Okay.
Because then he could say, look, they're coming after you. But I have this power. When they put you up there, I can immediately change it. So you need to fight for me. You need to keep me. That's, yeah. I guess, would be the way that he could do that.
I just think that if he lets out that he has a power, I think people would be more likely to get rid of him.
Totally. But flush, I think what I learned from my season is that if enough people spread around a fake power, then it becomes real.
Yeah, exaggerate it.
That's right. Exaggerate it. Make it. I mean, that's what they all said about Sam's power, which was really what Caitlin said, that the way that the power was explained to all of us was that Sam had power and she could then use it to anybody that voted her out. She could then come back and then put them on the block. And I was like, that doesn't make any kind. That's not even Big Brother. Like, that doesn't make any yeah. kinds of sense. But all these other people that didn't do their homework were like, oh, I'm not messing with that. No, that power. No, I'm not. I got to vote for Sam to stay because I don't want to get put on the block. I'm like, why would they tell? That doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Even in the most extreme twists, like, that's just not even the game anymore. But that's what I learned. You could just make up a power and roll with it. Okay. Everybody will believe you.
Marcy wants to know, Rockstar, which BB21 player do you think is playing the most like you with your heart and soul?
I haven't seen him yet.
Okay.
Still looking.
Still looking. Okay. All right. Let's do Alex in the chat wants to know, who is more spastic, Caitlin or Christy? Come on. Be nice. Be nice, Alex.
Yeah,
do you see a Caitlin comparison? Yes,
totally. I mean, and I think even their HOHs are kind of going, they're following a same so kind of path.
What are their differences then?
Well, they do have differences. Mm-hmm. I give me a moment.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, while she's thinking about that, I wanted to say something just really quickly to the chat, Rob, because apparently there are a couple of people who have like impersonators of them. Like basically what they've done, there's somebody who has like taken somebody's name and they've taken their picture and they've made a separate YouTube account. And I would just want to tell the chat, it's impossible for me to tell who is real and who is not because you guys look exactly the same. There is literally nothing that I can do, even though a couple right. of these people are longtime patrons.
What I'd say to the chat is please I need Brent's undivided attention. Please let us try to do this podcast here because thank you very much to the chat tonight.
All right, okay. Rockstar, I wanted to give you a moment to think for a moment.
Thank you. So I guess where they are different, Christy has somebody in the house that she knows from the outside world.
Isn't that such an advantage? Can you imagine going into a house like that? I mean, she is crazy enough as it stands, but to have an anchor like that in Tommy who can at least guide her here and there and someone that she can confide in.
Imagine where she'd be without it.
Right.
Yeah, I know, right? God.
Okay. Let's do it for Logan Becker, Rockstar. What was it like losing the OTEV comp last season? Now, you were, I know, so, it was such a big moment in the season. You were so upset. Our hearts went out to
she
you.
She was upset. We were upset.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was it like? It was great. It was it was terrible. I have the big brother PTSD. Sometimes I'll just stare off in the kitchen and like, oh, Tev. What happens if I mean, I really like that's a real thing that I think that nobody takes seriously, but that all of us alumni have is like we get the staresies and we think about like what we could have done in a different way. Or like, I really do think like, what if I would have held that, you know, bottle to my chest that never told Tyler? Or what if like, I mean, you can't live in regret, but like, damn, that was something really like, look, I messed that up. So
the universe works out the way it works out. You just have to go with it. I'm a big believer in that. You don't know what the future holds. And if you had not said that to Tyler, then maybe you go on to win Big Brother and then you lose all the money in like 6 months or something. Like,
don't highest good me. Okay. Okay. No, I totally agree. I mean, it was awful.
Look, you have to live in the fact
it was devastating.
It was an iconic moment.
Hilarious.
I know it was devastating, but it was so iconic.
That stupid like Rocky Balboa jump and celebration. Oh my god! It was good TV. You're welcome. I mean, that's what I have to like live in is like, you know, well, what? Damn, at least it's funny now.
I'll tell you this, Rockstar. I know that me and all the other Big Brother fans are there who are fans of you. We play that competition up to the point where you're ruled wrong on the final answer. Like the look on Casey and Angela's face is like, oh my God, we've lost. And they are so down and I am living. For the first time ever. And I just, you know what? I just stopped the video at that point. I don't even watch the rest. You won. Congratulations. You're the winner of OTEV.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. This is one from Gene Everett. Has Rockstar bought a house yet? Why were you house hunting?
Well, that's why I went on Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't win the money, people. She needed the money.
Donate to my GoFundMe. No, I'm kidding.
Right?
I'm kidding. I work. But it's, I mean, that was why. No, I haven't bought a house. Houses are expensive. Yes. I live in Colombia. It's very, that was why I went on Big Brother. I was like, damn, I could buy a house cash. That would
cash money.
Like, done. So, no, I mean, that's a goal and a dream and the American dream, and I'm still working towards it.
Still working on it. Yeah. A lot of us are. Okay. John says, have you patched things up with Brett? Maybe you could do as sort of a big picture. Why don't we start with who are you good with from your season?
Everybody but Brett.
Everybody but Brett.
Really?
Really?
No way. Really? Is that really the truth?
I have talked to, I mean, how are we saying good with? Like cordial? What?
We
can kiki and, you know, kiss at events and stuff.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. Everybody but Brett.
Everybody but Brett. What's the problem with Brett?
Brett, a while ago, like on National Friendship Day or something, posted something on Twitter and he was like, tried to reach out to Rockstar, but she wouldn't pick up. And then everybody was like, oh, Brett, she's a bitch. Don't worry about her. So then like me and my daughter made something and we were like, you didn't call me, you didn't campaign to me. And so I dropped my number in his inbox or whatever, because Haley would not give me his number. She said, I'm not getting involved in your mess. And so she wouldn't give me the number.
Oh my God.
So I dropped my number in there. He never called, never responded. I was more than willing. He kissed my ass in jury though. So, I mean, when we were in jury together, oh my God, I'm so sorry. It was just the game. You're so cool. Blah, 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 blah. We're going to be friends outside of here. Brr.
Bullshit.
So, yeah. He kissed my ass in the jury house.
Yeah, I believe
it. Didn't, I mean, cause he was probably shook.
Right.
There's no violence clause in the jury house.
Okay. What about the people, who are you real close with? Anybody from the season?
I keep the most in contact with Bailey. We talk like every other day.
Yeah.
Really.
No, she's great.
Scotty is having a love affair with my fiance. So we talk to him a lot. Mm-hmm.
By the way, I've said on Twitter, but you know, you and Scotty have won the post BB experience in social media because you like all of your faults, all of the shitty gameplay that you had, you totally own it. You don't run away from it. You're like, look, it happened. Sorry about it. You know, learn to live with it. Scotty, like I basically have called him bitter and really come for him in the post Big Brother world. And he not only follows me on Twitter, he totally laughs about it. So, yeah. Big props to you guys for the way you've behaved after the season.
I think, you know, there was something that I thought about right after coming off the show. And it was because when I got home, I think the first thing that Chris showed me was the global TV where our faces are all stretched out and like, and it's like a weird voice. And it was the, on my daughter's birthday. Uh-huh, and that was like the first thing he showed me. And I was like, this is ridiculous. What is, this is hilarious. he's like, Angie, you were so funny. Like you, I know it, you were hurting and everything and you were sad, but it was truly entertaining. And I really feel like if you cannot laugh at yourself, I've always had a self-depreciating humor.
Me too.
How I got through middle school. Mm-hmm. If you can't laugh at yourself, you probably shouldn't go on reality TV because people are assholes.
You are so right about that. Because I run hot too in real life, but like I can totally laugh at myself and people can come for me. I'm totally fine with it. So I love your vibe, girl.
If you know how to make fun of yourself and if you make fun of yourself first, then when somebody else comes and tries to do it, you're like, I already told that joke like 2 days ago.
What are they gonna say?
Right.
Okay. Let's take some more questions and we'll do some live feeds. Logan wants to know, Rockstar, did you rewatch your season? If so, what were you most surprised about? Have you gone through and watched the tapes?
I'm getting there. I'm pushing through. I think so. I ended Caitlin's HOH, and
that's early.
I'm like, oh, I'm early, but I'm doing it. Now there's a whole new season. So I really had started watching them. Then I started a new job and then I started BB21.
So yeah. Are you not curious to go back and watch the episodes?
No, I am. But I the reason I waited so long is because I was still very emotionally attached to the whole experience and like my feeling that I let myself down and I let my kids down and I let this like why I left them mm-hmm. for that long. That whole thing down. And then I would like replay whether or not, you know, I made the right moves or how I could. I was just very.
You wanted to win.
I wanted to win.
I get you, girl.
Like literally in that house, all I thought about was my next move and how to get there and what to do. And
you needed to win an HOH.
I needed to win an HOH and I never did. And then I was just like, oh my God. You're a loser.
Yeah. And you were in the tiebreaker and your math was wrong on that one. If that one could have gone your way, I think things would have worked out a little bit differently.
It would have been a lot different.
Look, at least only one person can win the season.
Exactly.
15 people are going to lose. And, you know, you just were on, you know, the other side of the house had things so much on lockdown. Even if you get through OTEV, if you get through, you know, win an HOH, it's just that they had so like all their bases covered on the other side.
Strongly together and they trusted each other.
They had somebody who wasn't even in the alliance who was totally digmatized by Tyler and JC and he was just spilling all your tea left, right, and center. By the way, I do have a question from Mondo in the chat. I want to know the answer to this question. He says, can you ask Rockstar to talk about her eviction interview with Julie where you called out the hacker twist? Because a lot of times that, you know, people won't say anything in their eviction interviews, but you straight up called it out, girl. You were like, look, this is bullshit. This is why I went home. did they say anything to you about that or what?
They didn't. Okay. I don't know if it's they haven't really said much to me, so I don't know if that was wrong. If that was like if I'm like hated by CBS. I hope not. I like CBS.
I'm sure it's long forgotten.
But I in that moment, truly, while I was out there, this is going to rhyme now, talking to Julie, all I could think was like, Julie said, who do you feel most betrayed by? And honestly, in that moment, I was like, I don't feel betrayed by anybody competing for $500,000. I kind of feel betrayed by the outside that wasn't competing with us, because when you're going against each other, you're going to be cutthroat. You're going to be ruthless. You're not going to work with people. You are going to work with people. I didn't really feel betrayed by anybody that I was competing against, because we were all gunning for $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
The actual betrayal was this comp where I'm getting evicted on my best friend in the house's HOH. Like, damn,
mm-hmm.
that was some shit.
Yeah. Let me see if I have the clip. This is I have a clip called Pissed Rockstar. Let me see what you're mad about. Here.
Pretty privileged princess gets pulled off the block. Guess I should have batted some eyelashes, but I'm not here to give up. I'm not giving up.
Okay.
But that was the old outro music too, Rob.
Like, yes, we've got this we missed it.
Yes,
the man. New
Oh, we missed it. Okay. All right. Yes.
I get so much shit for calling somebody a princess. She is a princess.
So benign. She's beautiful. So benign. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and unbothered. She just wrote a book called Unbothered. Yes. Rockstar was right.
Yes. All right. Johnny wants to know, now that we're at day 14, which house guests have best upheld the trademark Rob Sister No go to sleep for 2 weeks? I didn't go to sleep for half the summer. Not go to sleep for, but
yeah.
Who's doing the best job of being asleep in the house that you think could wake up Rockstar?
I feel like they're all kind of actively playing to the best of whatever their ability is.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to see, I think Nicole is being stealthy.
Yeah.
That's the one I was going to say.
She's being stealthy. And I think that she's not in anybody in the wrong people's ears.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not really finding her to be like, get away from me. Right. She's doing a good job, I think.
Yeah. Holly as well. I've been high on Holly since before the beginning of the season. I think she's playing a mature game.
Yeah.
I would, as Kat would say, she's a gorgeous older woman.
She's beautiful. Oh my God. She's gorgeous.
Yes.
She's like,
I think it that way.
Linda Evangelista.
Okay.
No, I do. I think she's beautiful.
What I'd like to do now is I want to hit the spoiler music and be able to talk about stuff from the live feeds and preview a little bit of what's going on tomorrow. Before we get into talking about our live feed tonight, let me just take a moment and thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at Brook Linen. Of course, Brook Linen makes luxury sheets that are affordable and not at luxury prices. And now that the weather is getting warmer, maybe it's time to switch up your sheets and duvets to something a little breezier, lightweight, and soft. Check out the newest collection, because Brook Linen's mission is to make you more comfortable. They've got luxury linen sheets and robes, even if you're not HOH, without the luxury markups. Brook Linen was the first direct-to-consumer bedding company, meaning that they work directly with manufacturers and directly with customers with no middlemen. Just a great product and service. They've got 12 beautiful linen colors and patterns to choose from. Beautiful, airy linen pieces that give your bedroom a chic, relaxed feel while providing you with the ultimate comfort. It's in their name, so you know it's good. Brook Linen's newest linen collection is amazing. I couldn't recommend their products more for graduates, newlyweds, friends, or family, or treating yourself to the bedroom upgrade you deserve. BrookLinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Get 10% off and free shipping when you use promo code Rob at BrookLinen.com. Brook Linen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. The only way to get 10% off and free shipping is to use promo code Rob at BrookLinen.com. That's BrookLinen.com. Promo code Rob. Brook Linen. These are the best sheets ever. No sleep till Brook Linen. If you're going to be leaving us now, don't. But if you, if you feel like you have to, then we'll be back tomorrow night with Donnie Thompson live after the eviction. But let's bring in the spoilers right now.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Yes. Okay. All right. Let's just bring in the spoilers that I don't know if I did a good job explaining how this was going to work tonight, Rockstar. But yeah, we try not to get into the spoilers before
we
hit this point. And we've been fine. We've been fine. Yeah. Okay. All right. Brian, can you give us a forecast? How bad is it looking for Ovi on a scale of 9 to 10?
It's looking pretty bad. There was hope earlier today. There might have been a flip coming. Taryn even went on Twitch to manifest it. But it was all emanating from
what Kat does he do, like a Jackson. Rain dance? Like,
listen, I don't know. He got it all from Caitlin. I don't ask me. I think that it could have happened, but there just weren't enough people really pushing for it. And Kat is such a mess that all of the reasons to get rid of her are also the reasons why you would want her to stay. That's kind of how the house views it at this point. Jackson really started everything going by wanting to get rid of Kat because Kat is just bugging the living shit out of him. She is a stage 5 clinger. He can't stand it. He wants to hook up with Holly. And it suddenly dawned on him that he could get out of this mess if he just evicts Kat. And he's like, he said to Annalise, sis, he's like, I think I'm just going to evict her. She's like, oh, you can't do that. I'm like, why can't he do that? He can do that. Who cares? Yeah. So then he's talked to Tommy. Tommy was actually on board with keeping Ovi and was like, you know, yeah, let's go to Christy and see, you know, how she feels about this. Started to move things down the track a little bit. I was surprised that Tommy was on board as he was because he hasn't really said anything or used any of his agency to try to turn the tide. But in the end, Jack and Christy basically put a stop to it. And we're at a point right now where Ovi's going to be evicted. And the worst part is, Rob, he doesn't know it's coming unless something's changed since I came onto the live show tonight. Mm-hmm. He still is not aware of the fact that he's going to be leaving tomorrow. And that is so heartbreaking to me. I'm hanging my hat on the fact that there's some twist coming where If David can come back, that means that Ovi can come back.
Rockstar, I think Ovi's going to end up leaving and then coming back in. I don't think that David gets back into the house.
No, David.
That's my prediction. I think that that somehow whatever is going to go involve David tomorrow night ends up with Ovi returning back to the house.
And then right back out of the house because he's
maybe.
Well, no. Listen, this is great. If it's like a Big Brother 9 thing where you know they had somebody who was waiting and then they evicted somebody and then the house like had to pick or there's some competition or something where it's between Ovi and David for somebody to come right back in the house. If it's Ovi, man, he's going to have some blood to be paid because Jack is telling him to his face, like, "Look, dude, I got your vote." He's lying straight to him. Well, of course, a lot of people are, but he really, Ovi I'm talking about, looks up to Jack. And it's like, thinks of him kind of like a big brother, even though he totally shouldn't. Jack has no respect for Ovi whatsoever. And in fact, calls him a douche outside of earshot. So I really wish there was a way that Ovi knew that something was going to happen because maybe he could use his nightmare power to try to bargain with people to keep him in the house. But if he does go out and is totally blindsided and then comes back in, that could be even more fun. And as you talked about with Taryn on the show a few nights ago, I do think that he will get to keep his nightmare power.
I agree. I definitely think that, he's keeping the power. They didn't give him
that spectacle.
Yeah.
Right.
They didn't give him the power to have him not use the power.
I know, right? Oh, God. I really want to see this used.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Rockstar? Like, there's an HOH. The nominations are set. And then in the middle of the night, in the middle, like 3 a.m., everybody's woken up in the dead of sleep. And then they have to sit around the table and the HOH is just commanded by Big Brother to name two new nominees. Like
I think it would be dope.
Fabulous television.
It's so cool. Mm-hmm. And they would, what is even happening? And who had this power? And everybody would freak out. I hope that gets to get used. And it's not looking good for Ovi. I really like Ovi. The poor I'm almost with Jackson's homance plan. Like, I really, I'm signed on board with it.
Yeah.
Get rid of her.
It's like a Seinfeld episode. That you have to do the backdoor breakup.
I know that there has
the reverse
been
backdoor.
The reverse backdoor.
the reverse backdoor, exactly. I know that it hasn't looked good from the outside, the optics of everything about this alliance targeting, first David goes out, then they target Cammy, Jessica, Ovi, all of that. But having said all of that, Ovi has not played this well at all, you guys. He really, really should have picked up on some clues. He's a fan of the game. I mean, not only did he watch Big Brother Canada, but he also watched Sequester, Audrey's Sequester online. Yeah. He's a fan of that as well, especially of season 2. He knows the things. Yeah,
with all due respect, wasn't Tiffany Rousseau was
she played okay.
It's like, watch her on Sequester. Watch this.
Rob coming for Tiffany Rousseau. All right.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, look, he at least watches Big Brother Canada. He should know better.
He knew who Aiko was.
That there is no freaking way that a veto is going to be used without the HOH knowing about it. Like, if you're like, Sam has allies, is he just going to willy-nilly use the veto and let one of his allies go up on the block because he didn't warn the HOH that he's going to use the veto? Of course he's going to talk with the HOH and let them know. I mean, that is just crazy talk to me that Obi is anywhere close to buying this. And I think what's going on is it's denial. He doesn't want to face the fact that he's in trouble, because that would be really scary for him.
It's not happening. It's not happening.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, it's also like, on the flip side, if you do feel those things, I mean, and you just kind of like go to your bed and you isolate yourself and you screw face everybody like somebody, like, because you're upset because you feel like, I'm going home, these people all want me to go home, then you're not really out there trying to support your cause either or socialize. So it's like, I don't think he knows what's going on. I do wish he would read the clues, but at the end of the day, even if you can read the clues, what are you supposed to do? Like, I don't think anything prepares you for actually being in the Big Brother house. Super fan, mega fan, therapist. Once you're in there, and it depends on who you're in there with too, but if people are like Jack always talking, and then the girls kind of came up with this creepy thing, and then they spread the around the house, and he might have even heard some of that, but he's like, I'm just gonna keep being me, and I'm just gonna keep being nice to everybody, and I'm gonna be friendly, and I'm not gonna let them feel my negativity on their negativity. That could be it too, because really it's depressing to be on the block. After a while being in the house, you start to feel like these people that are leaving are going to be executed. Like, that's really the psychological feeling that it is. And that's why everybody cries. And you watch it at home and you're like, what is wrong with these people? Like, why are they crying? Why are they like this? They've known each other a week. They're saying, I love you. It's the weirdest thing in the world. And it is like a pressure cooker, and you really do start to feel like the people that are leaving, that they're walking to the guillotine or whatever, and so I don't know what is the right reaction, even if he did realize he was on the block. Are you supposed to just, I mean, you could just sit there like, man, this sucks, which it does, or man, this person's over there getting everything they want, which they are, but then you also have to try to be positive, because I wasn't positive. I wasn't like, I'm going to turn my frown upside down, because I felt really isolated in the house and really sad. And now I look at that on TV and I'm like, damn, bitch, you were screw facing everybody up in that house. So like, no wonder half of America says you're a miserable bitch, even though no one that's ever met you has called you out in your life.
Come on.
Well, you're not in that half of America.
Hashtag screwface.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
All right. Rockstar, is there anything else you want to say about Big Brother 21?
I love it. I'm enjoying myself. It's very interesting to be outside of the house. And I totally understand, like, how people can get so wrapped into it. And I totally understand the love of the game and the passion for it when it comes to the strategy. And also, I now understand all the connections that people make when they see themselves in other people. And I find it really fascinating. And I hope Big Brother does continue for a long time. I do wish they would address some of the live feed things a bit more on the edited show, because no fault to CBS or anything, but I feel like it opens up a conversation to where we could all grow as people more in general. you know, like just having those conversations about why someone said something and why it offended somebody else or why it offended the audience or, you know, why it hurt someone really opens up a perspective and really makes us look at ourselves. If we see ourselves in those people, maybe you said the same thing behind closed doors that you didn't even know other people would find offensive because you're in a homogenous group where no one's going to tell you, don't say that braids are ghetto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. You know? Which, Christy said, yeah.
Yes. I mean, and it's like, or some of the other things that have been said in the house, but that's like an easy one to yeah, go exactly. ahead and say, like, she probably doesn't have a lot of black friends that are going, yes, girl. You know. Yeah. You know, don't say that. This is my hairstyle. This is my, you know, like ghetto. What are you talking about? I was just shopping at Saks, like, you know, like, or whatever. Like there's, I think a lot of these people come from areas where they're not with a lot of other people that are different from them or that are willing to call them out on their bullshit.
That I do believe, like, fundamentally that's what the show is supposed to be, though. The show is the show is supposed to be learning about other people. And so if you have people that are saying the wrong things, that I do believe that they should get the opportunity to, like, what you were saying, that was wrong and that was hurtful. And then they had the opportunity to be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Or
I can't believe I said that. I didn't mean to offend you. You know, like all these conversations that could be had that, because
there's a possibility of growth. That's what we hope for at the end of this. Also, somebody's going to win, but also some people could grow
and learn from each other.
And people watching could grow.
There's so many teachable moments that happen in Big Brother.
Yeah, but that was like Big Brother from Bill Hall points out in the chat that that's what the early seasons of Big Brother were like. I mean, where we actually got to see different perspectives and hear people say things that maybe weren't politically correct or outright racist and hear it said. And we're like, oh, wow. But I swear, ever since Big Brother 15 and that whole season, they really try to hide as much as possible from the edited show because they just don't want to deal with it, I don't think. By the way, they do know that it's happening because Jack did get a talking to by production yesterday. But the whole thing he took away from that conversation with production
was it a big deal?
It wasn't a big deal. It was just like, you know, people taking things out of context. And, you know, I just have to be careful about how I say things, which, no, that is not what is happening. It is not about context.
It's just crazy because you live your life in the house and then you come out of the house and people remember how you made them feel.
That's right. Yeah.
And they
Moosey's in the chat going, he said it's not a big deal. Yeah, if it wasn't a big deal, he wouldn't have said anything. So obviously it is a big deal. He knows it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me tell you about what's coming up here on Rob Has a Podcast, Amazing Race Canada. Rockstar, did you watch The Amazing Race with all these reality people?
I didn't. I really wanted to because I wanted to root for certain people, but I kept up on Twitter. I tried it.
That's basically what I did too.
I should have watched.
I watched until Eliza and Corinne and Rachel and her sister were eliminated. And then when they were eliminated, I was like, I don't have anybody to root for. Screw it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Amazing Race Canada 2019 Season 7 Preview. Jessica Leese and Dan Heaton have the preview of Amazing Race Canada up on robhasawebsite.com. And then we also have, News AF. Yes. Find out what Danny and Tyson have in store for 4th of July and the case of the man who broke into his local Wendy's to steal a safe and to make himself a burger. Find out more about that. The Real Life Hamburglar on News AF. On Bachelorette episode number 7 recap. Find out what's going on with the latest happenings on The Bachelorette with Amy and Haley. And then Taryn will be back to update the live feeds on Wednesday morning to get us ready for our first live eviction. Join Taryn at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific for the full live feed update of Tuesday in the Big Brother house. And then Donnie Thompson will be here with us live on Wednesday night. So very excited to catch up with Donnie great guests on the podcast. All of this is made possible by the power of the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. And of course, you can see everything we have going on behind the scenes, access to our patron-only podcast feed, and much more going on in our patron community at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Rockstar, you were so much fun to get to talk to tonight. I hope you come back again later on the season.
Yeah, let's do it. I had a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Okay. You kept it real, Mama. You kept it 100, and I'm living for it.
That's the only way I know, man.
I know, okay. Right? Right there with you.
Rockstar, where can people follow you on social media that you're tweeting about these shows?
Okay, so that's the Twitter is at Mrs. MRS _ A Rockstar. And the Instagram is Angela MFN Rockstar, like, you know, my fun neighbor.
Yes, my fun neighbor.
My fun neighbor. And I have a YouTube, but I haven't done much with it lately just because I have a lot going on. But it's Angela Rockstar, I believe, is the YouTube channel. Facebook, Angela Lantry. My mom loves to see the Facebook love, so feel free.
Okay.
And that's pretty much it, I guess.
All right.
All right, Rockstar, thank you. Thank you so much. Of course, you can follow Brent on Twitter at @OneLuckyGay. Brent, anything else going on?
Nope. Just looking forward to seeing whatever this twist is tomorrow and finding out what the heck Big Brother has cooked up and seeing if Ovi's going to have a second chance at redemption here, because it's not looking very good right now.
Yeah. And of course, I want to thank our listeners and our viewers here tonight. I know we had a lot of starts and stops with getting the live stream going, but so many of you hung in there. Over 2,000 people are still watching the stream live tonight.
Wow.
So thank you guys so much for hanging in there. Even those people that are misbehaving in the chat, even you guys, thank you all so much. Thanks Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. We'll be back tomorrow night with Donnie Thompson. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Love you.